Good morning and welcome to worship with the people of Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence with us and among us virtually today. We trust that the Holy Spirit is with each of us and binds us together in heart and mind wherever we are as the body of Christ in the world. We've got a few announcements today. First is that we are having our annual audit today. And so if you are needed to be here for that, please remember and come at 1. Hold us in prayer as we do that work. Tomorrow night is our monthly council meeting. Couple of announcements about upcoming opportunities. I am hoping to get a Bible study up and going, and I'm trying to see what kind of interest there is. There are a couple of different options. One could be a daytime Bible study for those of you that are available during the day. Another could be an evening Bible study for those of you that work. You could come after work, after dinner. And either of those have the potential that you could Zoom in as well. And so if you are interested in being part of a Bible study, if you'd reach out and let me know that, and let me know if daytime or evening would work best. Lent is fast approaching, and we have a couple of things coming up in Lent. Each Wednesday evening in Lent, we will be offering an online Lenten service. This is done in collaboration with other Lutheran pastors in Davidson County. Each week, a pastor from a different church will offer a meditation on the Psalms of Lent. The links for that will be sent out each week, and we will follow a service of Holden evening prayer. Ash Wednesday is February 17th, and for Ash Wednesday, we will be sending out a very brief Ash Wednesday service, and we will be hosting a drive-through imposition of ashes. We are going to do this in the safest way possible. Of course, I will be masked. We'll ask you in your car to be masked. I will be wearing gloves and will replace the gloves for each family unit that I impose ashes on their forehead with. Those times will be from 11:30 to 12:30 that day and 5:45 to 6:15. Put that on your calendar and more information will follow. And finally, as most, if not all of you know, our beloved Megan Murphy's dad has been at UNC Hospital struggling with COVID and is trying to recover from COVID. And their family is hosting a time of prayer tomorrow that includes a virtual anointing of oil. And that will take place from 2 to 2:15. And they've asked that whoever can stop and pray during that time that there would be a flood of hearts and voices praying for Gregory at that time. We also have quite a few birthdays this week. Karen Beck has a birthday, Myra Beck, Herbert Frank, Brantley Bunton, Carol Conrad, Carol Lohr, Lincoln Murphy, Tina Hedrick, and David Clark. Let us pray for these brothers and sisters. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And finally, as many of you know, I sent out an email on Friday that Barbara Kepley is now in hospice care. She was not able to go to the Hinkle Hospice Home as they did not have room availability for her there. So she continues to receive hospice care at Baptist Hospital. And the family has requested a prayer shawl for her that they can lay upon her, hoping that it would give her some comfort. And I know that these, when they are knit, are covered in prayer. But we also pray over this that it would comfort and strengthen Barbara for the journey ahead. And so, although we can't pass this around in the congregation, if you'd like to take a moment just to say a prayer for Barbara, I know the family would be grateful. And now let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be known to the ends of your creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now is the time for our children's chat, and so if you are a little one or a big one, please come a little bit closer to your screen because I want to talk to you about something. I am really tired. Not necessarily sleepy, but just tired. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever just get tired of school and homework and chores and all the different things that you have to do? It's not just grown-ups that get busy and tired and stressed. Kids get that way too. And in today's gospel lesson, it says this: In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Jesus got tired and overwhelmed and stressed too. And what he did was he got up and had a little bit of alone time. He spent his alone time talking with God in prayer and listening to what God had to say to him. But the Gospels tell us that other times when Jesus needed time alone, he rested or he took a nap. And so if you're needing a little bit of alone time, if you're just a little bit overwhelmed with your schedule, with the pandemic, with everything going on, it's okay to take time to yourself and to rest. And so I was thinking, what are some of my favorite ways to rest? And maybe these are some of your favorite ways too. I love to take a nap, and Sunday afternoons are my favorite times for taking a nap. Yes. Maybe you like to watch movies. You can watch a movie and snuggle up on the couch with a cozy pillow and blanket or your lovies. Maybe you can read a book, curl up on the couch with a cup of hot cocoa, and enjoy a book or a comic book or even a magazine. Whatever it is that you find restful or relaxing, whatever it is that you think your heart or your mind or your body need to rest, it's okay to give yourself permission to do that. Even Jesus took time to himself to rest and relax and renew himself. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you help us give ourselves permission to rest. whatever it may be, comfort us and renew us in our heart, mind, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.
The first reading is Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught, and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when He blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because He is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 147. Hallelujah! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor God with praise. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem and gathers the exiles of Israel. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord counts the number of the stars and calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to God's wisdom. The Lord lifts up the lowly, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music upon the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds and prepares rain for the earth, making grass to grow upon the mountains. God provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they cry. God is not impressed by the might of a horse and has no pleasure in the speed of a runner, but finds pleasure in those who fear the Lord, in those who await God's steadfast love. The Lord has not done so to any other nation. They do not know God's judgment. Hallelujah. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not my own will, I am entrusted with the commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. to those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And when Simon and his companions hunted for him, when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For this is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out their demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The sermon for today will be from Isaiah 40. The original hearers of this message, which began at the beginning of chapter 40 with "Comfort, O comfort ye my people," says God, were in exile. The Israelites had spent years away from their homes and their temple. They were tired. They were weary, and they were having trouble imagining a new future for themselves. They were tired of the distance. They were tired of longing, and they were tired of not knowing if they'd ever get to go back. I wonder if we can relate to this. Can we imagine these feelings? Of course we can. We are in the midst of a pandemic and have many of these same longings ourselves. But unfortunately, the challenges that the Israelites experienced and endured in exile began to cause them to doubt God's attentiveness and to doubt God's power among them and for them. Sometimes, as we all know, when we are in the midst of challenges and struggles, we can forget God's story of attentiveness. We can forget God's story of dependability. We can forget God's story of love. And unfortunately for the Israelites, as they forgot these stories, they wrongly translated their weariness and exhaustion as disregard by God. Because they had forgotten God's history among them, they began to question God's presence. They felt despair amidst the chaos in which they were living. They were exhausted, weak, and even the youth had grown faint. Well, fast forward 2,500 years, and here we are in the midst of a pandemic. What at first we thought was going to be temporary, I remember thinking when the pandemic began that by Easter it would be all over. Well, here we are about to enter into Lent again, and we are still in the pandemic. It hasn't been temporary and feels more permanent. There are over 400,000 folks who have died in the U.S. because of the coronavirus. There are hundreds of thousands more who have had it, and hundreds of thousands more who have struggled, knowing that their parents, their children, their friends, their family have endured the coronavirus. I think we are a tired people, and we know what it is to be weary. This past year has been marked by this horrible virus, hard economic times for so many, many folks trying to figure out what it looks like to work from home while caring for children or parents or other responsibilities. Teachers and students have had to figure out how to learn remotely. We've all had to social distance from one another, and we've hunkered down at home a little bit more. And from so many of you, I've heard that you deeply, deeply miss gathering together for worship. You miss worship. I do too. We miss singing together. We miss praying together. I miss the cacophony of voices as we say the Apostles' Creed together. We miss connecting with one another, seeing people, seeing their whole faces. We miss the small talk that used to happen before worship and after and on the way to our cars. We miss hugging each other. I cannot wait to hug some of you all when we are able to do it again. Now, I want to be sure to say that all of these measures that we have taken to slow the spread of the virus are vitally important. And just because they have been hard and painful doesn't mean that we shouldn't have done them, and doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to do them, because these are ways that we love ourselves and our neighbors. But it has left us emotionally and mentally and physically zapped. I know so many of us are stressed and overwhelmed just with the ordinary things of life, because having a pandemic in the midst of it magnifies everything else. There were several times this week when I read different articles about something called pandemic fatigue. I don't know if you all have seen anything like this in the news or on social media, but pandemic fatigue is real, and so many of us are experiencing it. These times are so difficult and challenging that even youths grow weary and are faint. And then we add on some of these winter blues, where the days are shorter, there's less sunlight, the days are grayer, it's colder, so we can't spend as much time outside, and we can't really gather together outside with our loved ones. It's a really, really hard time. And like the Israelites in Isaiah, sometimes we can get caught up in the challenges and struggles of life and forget who God is and forget about God's story of dependability and forget about the story of God's attentiveness and the story of God's love. We know these things so clearly, but sometimes in the walk of faith and in life, our weariness and our exhaustion can prevent us from hearing God, or can cause us to misinterpret our circumstances as God truly being actively at work among us. This week, I felt this deeply as there were several in our congregation who are struggling. So many of you want to go see Barbara Kepley and say goodbye to her in person, but are not able to because of the pandemic. So many of you were heartbroken that Jana was home by herself for a few days until we knew that she tested negative for COVID. So many of you are heartbroken that she can't go see Bobby and sit by his bedside. We felt in very real and deep ways some of the pain of having been separated from each other for so long this week. We felt hopeless and we felt helpless and powerless. And so I think that it is no coincidence that this passage from Isaiah is our text for today. Because Isaiah reminds us that the people of God have been crying out to God for centuries, lamenting to God, expressing anger, expressing heartache, wondering where God is at in the midst of all of this. For as long as humanity has existed, there have been circumstances that have led us to be weak and faint and exhausted. But none of this, none of us, are beyond the reach of God. This passage reminds us that God's ways are unsearchable, that God's great power is absolutely unfathomable and unimaginable. In God's majestic and almighty power, God created the heaven and the earth and all that exists. God powerfully brought order out of the chaos at creation, and God continues to bring hope and life out of despair and death. The God who created all that exists, the God who is stronger and more powerful than all the rulers, knows each star by name, knows each of us by name, knows the number of hairs on our head. The God who exists beyond all imagining knows us, loves us, and cares for us. Although we don't always see how God is at work, it doesn't mean that God isn't. We often, and I am guilty of this too, we want God to remove our suffering. Even Jesus wanted this. When he was in the garden, he pleaded to God to take the cup away from him. God doesn't always remove or take away our suffering. Instead, in Christ, God chooses to enter into suffering with us. In Christ, God left all the majesty and glory that is rightly due to God. God emptied God's self and became a human. And in Christ, God is one with us and for us. In Christ, God entered into the brokenness of humanity. Jesus knew pain and heartbreak and suffering beyond imagination. And it is also in Christ, through the waters of baptism, that God names us and claims us as God's own. Beloved, I know we are weary and fatigued and exhausted, mentally and emotionally depleted. But our everlasting God does not grow weary. God does not get tired. God does not sleep or slumber. And God gives strength to the powerless, strength to the weak, and power to the faint. What is asked of us is that we wait on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, it is not idle waiting, and it is not waiting in vain. It is not wasted. Because when we wait in the Lord, we wait with confidence, knowing that God is with us and constantly surrounds us with God's love. Listen to these words again. Those who wait for the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. An interesting thing about Hebrew poetry, of which this verse, this chapter is that when there are triplets, when there are three lines of poetry together, they grow in emphasis from the first to the third. So for example, the last line is more important than the middle, and the middle is more important than the first line. But I don't like it when it comes to this poem, because I think that's a little counterintuitive. Because the last line is, they shall walk and not faint. And that's more important than they shall run and not be weary, which is more important than they shall mount up on wings like eagles. This is very counterintuitive, because I want to mount up on the wings like eagles. I want that to be the pinnacle of this poem. I want that to be the pinnacle of the life of faith. I don't want not walking without falling down to be the pinnacle. But I think the truth is that no matter how much we long to soar like eagles, sometimes all we can barely manage to do is put one foot in front of the other and keep doing it over and over and over again. And maybe this is the pinnacle. Maybe the best thing we can do right now is to be able to put one foot in front of the other as we walk in faith and in the strength of God, knowing that God accompanies us and enters into our weariness and exhaustion with us. Life is hard, and it's especially hard for so many right now in the pandemic. Like those in exile, we are tired of longing. We're tired of the distance. We're tired of the uncertainty of what lies ahead. But the good news is that God does not grow tired. God is not weary. And when we wait on God, God gives us strength and power. God names us and claims us as God's own. And we can confidently trust that God's love surrounds us always. And nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's confess what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For the church, for ministries of healing and wholeness, for hospital, hospice, and military chaplains, for those serving in prison ministry, for all who proclaim freedom and release in the name of Christ, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For creation, for insects in the grass, clouds on the mountaintops, for cattle and the rainwater they drink, for the humility to take our place among all creatures of the earth, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the nations, for all who lead in cities and towns, states and countries, for community organizers, school officials, for international health organizations, that in times of trial, fear, or hopelessness, they find freedom in service to those most in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all wearied by life's burdens, for those who are poor, for those lacking supportive relationships, for those crushed by debt, for those struggling with chronic pain or other sickness, for those exhausted from overwork or stress, and for all who cry out to you, especially Burnett, Gary, Aldine, Teresa, Jean and Barbara, Libby, Bill, Harold, Scott, Kara, Michael, Neil, Steve, Keely, Brent, and Baby Bryce, Pastor Talent, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, for the family and friends listed in the bulletin, and for those we now name aloud. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For this congregation, for outreach and social ministries centered here, especially the Backpack Program and the Teen Parent Program, for ministries of companionship and support, for those who open us to new understandings, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In thanksgiving for the faithful departed who were called by name and now rest from their labors, that their lives serve as witnesses to the goodness of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. At this time, as we prepare for the offering, I'd like to remind you that there are three ways that you can bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. They are listed in the bulletin, but I will repeat them for you. You can text GIVE to 336-331-5531. You can visit our website to give a one-time contribution or offering, or you can set up a continuous offering. Or you can drop off or mail a check here to the church. Let us bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord in whatever way you are able. always.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's state our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of your Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.